was that a blessing? Amen. You know, a lot of times you go to different churches and you want to be an encouragement to the people that are in the church, and absolutely that's the way it should be. But I have to admit, this morning, the singing, whoever picked the songs this morning, that has really encouraged me, and I appreciate that. I am going to turn this on. Yes, thank you so much. Make sure that I have this straight. Let's see if it is on. Justin, can you hear me? Okay, you may not want to hear me after a little bit, but that's all right. I guess I'll turn that away from you guys. Okay, wonderful. She's got it. All right. If you'll go ahead and take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once again, I'm thankful to be here this morning. I do kind of have a little bit of a chauffeur. I guess I'm chauffeuring him a little bit today. He had some car trouble, so he wasn't able to be at his home church today, so he decided to come with me. This is Mr. Kyle Bird, and you can wave, Kyle. He is one of our program assistants, actually our only program assistant at the camp, and he is just Mr. Caleb Biggs, who's the program director, and so I'm glad to have him with me today. He's going to be along for the ride and the long haul for at least a little while, okay? We're going to have some fun today. I'm excited about what God has given me to preach this morning. I will be honest with you, I was really praying about what the Lord would have me to speak on, and this is, if you know me personally, and I've got to know several of you here because I know the stewards are always coming to the camp, and Miss Sharon and her family and so many others come to the camp so much. We're thankful for you. I love to be joyful. I love to try to encourage one another in the Word of God, try to encourage others, because I know that in camp ministry, people that come to camp most of the time do not have much joy. I'll be honest with you. They need that camp experience to give them some joy. They're coming to get away from the distractions of the world, and they're looking for some hope in Jesus Christ. They're looking for something, and praise God, we get to give them that wonderful hope and point them to that hope, and that's Jesus alone. But I'll be honest with you this morning, this message is a little bit more serious. I know the whole Bible is a serious message, but this message, I really believe that God has directed me in this way this morning. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you do me a favor, if you're physically able to, if you'd stand up for the reading of the Word of God, I'd like to read just four verses this morning, and then we'll get into the message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And I just want us to focus on that this morning. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where is that in your life? Would you bow with a word of prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for God allowing us to worship you. Well, thank you for your word this morning. God, I can't do anything without you. I realized that song this morning. Lord, I need you. God, we need you. I pray that you would be honored and you'd be glorified this morning in everything that's thought, everything that's said, everything that's acted, God. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they would get that settled today, as we know that today is the day of salvation. And we're so glad it is. God, I love you and I praise you, and I thank you for Jesus this morning. I pray that you meet with us in a special way, and that your Holy Spirit would fill each and every one of us up all the way, and draw us so much closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to focus on one thing this morning. You say, Carrie, we're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that we're focusing on just trying to win someone to Christ this morning? Are we just trying to preach the gospel this morning? I am going to preach the gospel a little bit. I try to do so in every single message that I preach. But this message is not necessarily for a lost person this morning. It is mainly focused on the saved. And the reason why I say that is because in 2023, I believe one of the biggest goals for a Christian, matter of fact, the goal for a Christian ought to be to do what? Glorify God in everything that we say, do, or think. Matter of fact, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is absolutely clear in the Word of God. How do you glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the best ways you can do that is to lift him up, to make him known, to declare His name. And so the title of the message this morning is very simple. And you feel like, as a Christian, you may already know this. I've been saved for a few years now, all the way since I was about 10 years old. And I've grown up in a pastor's home. My dad's been a pastor for a very long time now. He's been in the ministry over 30-some years. I am thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for my family. I have a godly heritage. I'm thankful for all of that. But I will be honest with you, even as a camp director of a Christian camp, as a soul winner, as a Christian of the Lord Jesus Christ, I still struggle sometimes to share the gospel. And yet that is still something that we are called to do. And in 2023, I would like to encourage you to do one thing, and that is to do all to the glory of Christ by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In every single thing that you do, in every single thing that you say, in every single thing that you think, does it point to the gospel? I tell our team at the Edge all the time, or as much as I can, if I am making a decision at the camp, it needs to have in the background the constant thought, does this affect someone? Does this impact someone for the glory of Christ and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it me just sharing what I have? Is it me just sharing what the camp has? Or is it declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? If a church is just here to be a church, it is not here to glorify Jesus Christ. I know that sounds hard, but I'm being very honest from what the Bible has taught us. If you're just here to be because it's just a church service, that is not why God has called you to be here this morning. Amen. If you're a Christian, you have the greatest privilege on earth of being able to share what Jesus did in your life. Amen. How He changed you. How He gave you new life. How He made you a new creature in Him. And so I want to focus on that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, I'll read it again in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And so that is the title of the message this morning. I read this one time. To be entrusted with the gospel is a privilege. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I feel like we live day to day as though that's not really a privilege. We go to a gas station, it's like, oh, I can't talk to that person. Jesus really isn't that special to me, so He wouldn't make that much of a difference to that person. Are we thinking that? What's going through our minds in 2023? This is a new year. This is a serious message, absolutely. But man, it's a glorious message to think about. You have the greatest news on earth. And you get to share that with someone else. When you go into a Walmart, do you get to share the gospel with someone around you? Say, Carrie, I'm not trying to encourage you this morning to just say, oh, I passed out 25 tracts at this Walmart. I passed out 26 tracts at this store. I passed out 50 tracts over here. No. It's not about how many tracts you passed out. And the importance is, are you declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he said there's some people he's met where it seems like they will post on Facebook all the time. They'll say, oh, I was feeling convicted. I went into Walmart, and I just knew I had to pass out some tracts. And so I passed out 33 tracts today. And you know what? I believe their heart is in the right place. But a lot of times we get so focused on what we've done and not enough on what Jesus has already done.
Amen.
Are you declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning? Where is your emphasis this morning, church? Where's your emphasis? In Holly Hills Baptist Church, I know Pastor Blackwell. I know he has an emphasis on the gospel. And I'm so glad he does. I know he has an emphasis on the name of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad he does. I'm asking you this morning, are you going to continue with that emphasis into 2023? Where is your emphasis this morning? Dr. Clarence Sexton at the Crown College of the Bible in Tennessee and Temple Baptist Church, he said this, and I wrote it down. He says, you will reap the harvest where you place the emphasis. Can I say that one more time? You will reap the harvest where you place the emphasis. If your emphasis is on gospel singing, then praise the Lord. Your singing is going to be really, you have a lot more time in your singing. You're going to have a lot more time in your piano playing. You have a lot more time in practicing your special music. Absolutely. If your focus or your emphasis is on trying to read your Bible more, then absolutely, that's what you're going to focus on. If your focus is on praying, absolutely, that's what your focus is going to be on. Those are great things, and in a Christian, they ought to be. But the center focus of every single one of those and in every single thing in a Christian's life has to be declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If that is not the focus, you have lost Christianity. It has to be Jesus. It has to be Jesus. It has to be Jesus. I know that you are Christians, most of you in here. I'm not going to take for granted that everyone in here is. But I want to encourage you, as a Christian, your job is not to just walk around and say, oh, I love Jesus. Your job is to declare the gospel. And that is not changing. And when Jesus comes, I have a question for you. Is he going to find you being faithful in declaring the gospel this morning? If Jesus were to come this morning, and I pray that, man, he would. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just see Jesus in the middle of the service, face to face? To see Jesus face to face, what a glorious thing that would be. But would he find you being faithful? Or would he find you struggling to even speak about the name of Jesus? I'm gonna get into some scripture this morning. The emphasis has to be on Jesus Christ. The emphasis has to be on declaring the gospel. In Mark 16:15, we find that the Bible says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you realize that every time a church grows in the United States, it's because of people declaring the gospel? Do you realize that every single time Holly Hills is going to grow as a church family in the gospel of Jesus Christ is by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? I meet people all the time, they're struggling with things about, oh, I've got suicidal thoughts, I've got struggles with bitterness, I've got struggles with my joy, I've got struggles with my faithfulness to church, I've got struggles with my faithfulness to God in this area, and in this area, and in this area. And I have the question that comes to my mind, how much are you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where is your focus? Is it on declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if it's not on that, no wonder you're struggling. If you're having those suicidal thoughts, is that a bad thing, Carrie? No, that's not a bad thing. That's an opportunity for God to work in your life. That's an opportunity for you to realize that my focus cannot be on me. It has to be on Jesus. My focus cannot be on Holly Hills Baptist Church. It has to be on Jesus. My focus cannot be on just singing. It has to be on Jesus. My focus cannot just be on my work experience. It cannot be on the ministry. That sounds really odd. Did you know that you can be so focused on the ministry, you can literally miss the God of the ministry? Amen. I've been there. It is not a fun place to be. But when you realize that Jesus doesn't want you to stay there, what an opportunity it is for God to start working in you and to realize where your focus needs to be. And that's back on the gospel. Every time a church grows, it has to be because of the gospel. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Would you finish the rest of it with me? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Holly Hills, that is why you are here. That is why you are here. In 2023, there is no other reason why you need to be here. It is simply because you are here to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it is not about him, we are not here for the right reasons. It has to be about him. Central Baptist Church in Yorktown, Virginia, my home church. Calvary Baptist Church in Smithfield, Virginia, where Kyle's home church is. It has to be on declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Carrie, it's so simple. Then why aren't we doing it? That seems so hard. Yes, it is hard. It is. I have to admit, it's hard for me. But I have to realize that there are people all around me who are going to struggle with something even harder, and that's going to hell. Because I didn't tell them about Jesus. Where's your focus this morning, church? Where is my focus this morning? I had a great privilege just a couple weeks ago. This whole year has been very, very crazy for me. I've had the privilege of preaching in several different churches. God has given me the opportunity to branch off into evangelism as well as being camp director at The Edge. I love every bit of it. There's hard things with it, absolutely. There are some major trials. There are some major struggles. But God's given me many opportunities to be able to share the gospel, to be able to declare the gospel. And I've gotten to see young people getting saved and Edge to Goes. I've gotten to see people getting saved at different events. I even got to go preach at a dodgeball tournament for teenagers. And in the back of the fellowship hall as I'm preaching, there's an older gentleman who is sitting in the back. And I didn't even know that God was working on his heart. I'm preaching to teenagers in this event. And he's probably close to, I think, 70 or 80 years old. And apparently, God was speaking to his heart. And you know what? I believe the man got assurance of salvation afterwards. There's just incredible things after that. My sister-in-law has gotten saved just a few months ago. We've been praying for her for about 2 years now. I have so much to be thankful for. A gentleman in our church, he's probably about 70 or 80 years old, and he's been praying year after year after year for his brother to get saved, to get saved, to get saved. He's been trying to declare the gospel to him. His brother was struggling with alcohol. He was struggling with smoking. He was struggling with all these horrible things. He's getting older. He's getting up in age. And now it's time that he's getting near the end. He's getting some physical problems. And Mr. Jerry at my church, he starts praying and starts praying and keeps praying and keeps praying, keeps bringing him up on the prayer list. Man, I tell you what, child of God, don't ever get tired of bringing someone up on the prayer list that needs to be saved. That is not in vain. He keep praying for him. And the gentleman, he called me while I was in Wisconsin at a college, Christian college, trying to do some recruiting. And he leaves me a voicemail. I didn't get to listen to it right away, but I call him back. And he's crying on the phone saying, Carrie, I've been praying so long, and yet God is still working.
Amen.
I thought, man, can you ever imagine? I'm sure there's plenty of you here. You've probably been praying for loved ones for years. It's like, God, why aren't you working? God, why aren't you working? And yet God is doing something you have no idea is going on behind the scenes. You know that gentleman got saved just a few months ago? Got gloriously saved, ended up coming to church for 3 or 4 Sundays in a row, kept coming. The pastor finally came to his house and got to share the gospel with him again, ended up getting saved. Mr. Jerry, he tells me on the phone, he's in tears. He says, glorifying God. He said, Carrie, you won't believe what's going on. My brother's gotten saved. He wants the rest of his family to get saved. He's just on fire for the Lord. This is because the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is the key focus, and it has to be the key focus. It has to be, and it still works.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Throughout this year, I've had many amazing opportunities to see that. And yet, I have to be honest with you. I have been struggling in one area. If you've ever had the privilege of winning someone to Christ personally, it's one of the greatest joys you could ever have.
Amen.
It's amazing. I get to preach all over the place. I love it. But there's nothing like... Me personally, I believe there's nothing like getting to win someone to Christ on a personal basis. I get to see people getting saved in preaching meetings. I love it, absolutely. It's just as exciting. But man, when you get to actually talk to that person individually and share the gospel with them individually and watch them ask Jesus to be their Savior, wow, what an awesome thing it is. This past year, I have to be honest with you, I have not had that opportunity at all until recently. And I was really asking God, I said, Lord, would you just give me one? Would you just give me one? I love getting to see people get saved. It's not me. I'm not really doing the winning. It's Jesus doing the winning.
Amen.
And I'm so glad he does it because he does it perfectly. But man, it's so good to be able to watch him personally. Just seeing someone trust Christ as their Savior. I was going to a Walmart the other week. And on my way to Walmart, I thought to myself, man, I'm going to just pray. I try to do this whenever I go into a store. I was asking the Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? And here again, it's almost 10 o'clock at night when I'm going to this Walmart. And would you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone who's ready to receive the gospel tonight? Who's not saved and they're ready to receive it. Just give me one. You know, a lot of times I believe we struggle in the lack of faith. I know I do. But man, God is so good. He's so gracious and kind. I got into Walmart, went to the back of the store trying to find some, we had some black erase markers that I need to get. And so I tried to get them from the back of the store, looking all over the place. I was trying to find these gigantic ones. You know, a Christian camp ought to have gigantic black erase markers, okay? Just got to find this thing. And so I'm going to the back, I'm trying to find this thing. I can't find these things for the life of me. So I finally just got the regular pack. And I started walking out of the building, and as I'm going from the back towards the front, going down some different aisles, I went down one of the main aisles, then I kind of cut over to another aisle that was kind of a shortcut, and as I'm going down, I noticed behind me there is a gentleman who just came out of the back storage area. He's one of the workers in Walmart, and he's following me. He's going down the same aisles I'm going down, and I'm not going down all just main aisles. And so I'm thinking, maybe he's just wanting to take the shortcut too. And so I started going, and I started thinking, man, I asked you to give me an opportunity, Lord. I'll open my mouth, and I'll just try to start a conversation with him. I said, you getting ready for Christmas? And he said, oh, yeah, I was just trying to. And I said, have you got all your Christmas shopping done? And we're walking along, and we started talking about a couple different things. And I just kind of stopped for a second. I said, well, you know, I'd like to give you this. And I handed him a tract. And I've done that several times. I do that quite a bit, actually. I try to. And a lot of times what happens is you'll give them a tract. And you'll say, hey, there's the gospel on here. It shows you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. This is how you got a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll even try to say, hey, do you go to church anywhere around here? And I'll try to bring that up. And I'll say, you know, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? That opportunity doesn't always come up, but sometimes I get that opportunity. And this young man is probably about 20-some years old. And he just looked at me and he said, no. And I said, okay. And a lot of times I'll have people tell me that. And then I'll ask them the next question. And this is where it ends usually. I say, well, would you like to know? And most of the time they say, oh, I'm good. I can do it on my own time or not right now. I've got things to do. And he just looked at me and said, sure. I said, okay. All right. I'm in the middle of Walmart. I'm in one of the main aisles of Walmart. And I wasn't in the food section. I was on the other side of the store. I think the Lord did that for a reason. I kid you not, in the middle of Walmart, this young man, I get to share the gospel as quickly as I could through this tract. Thankfully, it was a shorter version of just trying to get the gospel as quickly as you could. And the time that I had, it was perfect. Just a front and back flip track. And I went onto the back, started going through these things, trying to make it as clear as possible. He had some understanding of the gospel already. And I started going through it. And I'm thinking, Lord, please get rid of every distraction around me. Because there are people constantly walking by in Walmart. You just happen to know this. There are people, everyone goes to Walmart. It's like Chick-fil-A, okay? So they're going around, and I realize there's barely anyone around me. God is just completely removing everything. It's so cool. I had a couple Walmart workers that were coming up along the side, and they were standing over there talking. But this guy's name is Donald. He's still standing there. He's not looking over at them. He's looking at me. He had a couple of times we had to answer something on his phone, but he was still looking at me. He let me go through the entire plan of salvation with him. The entire thing. In the middle of Walmart. Never happened to me before. And I thought to myself, wow, I should have more faith more often. Because our God is able. Amen. Got to the end of that. Do you know Donald got his head in Walmart and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior? In Walmart. What a testimony. I got saved in Walmart. Man, that's great. My dad said he wanted to be buried in Walmart because my mom would go visit him twice a week. I don't know if some of you have that struggle as well. Anyway, I am getting to a serious part. It's wonderful to be able to share the gospel. Don't ever get tired of that. I've got one point today. That's it. Just one point. Not 3 points, not four, just one. And I'm going to get to that in this morning. And that is simply this. Are you declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? Daniel Webster said, if the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, then anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. You believe that?
Yeah.
Every time a church grows, it's because people declare the gospel. Every time a church grows, it's not because of griping and complaining. It's not because of lack of love. It's not because of backbiters or deceivers, as the Bible talks about, or fear or even worry or discontentment or lack of trust or a lack of just respecting your authority or rebellion or just downright disobedience. No, no, no. It is because people are declaring the gospel. That is the only way a church will grow. And if Holly Hills Baptist Church does not declare the gospel in 2023, do not expect this church to grow. I'm being very honest with you this morning. But that I see it all the time. I see it even in my own church. We've had times in our own church where we'll have a tract emphasis on a tract month. We have a thing called March Madness. You have March Madness basketball tournaments and all that. Well, we do March Madness with tracts. And we say, all right, we have a competition. It's a friendly competition. Who can pass out the most tracts with the focus of getting the gospel out? And we get, if the winners get like a Bible or something like that, and it's a really fun thing, and you get the gospel out, pass out hundreds and hundreds, trying to pass out thousands of tracts during the month of March with my church. But I noticed that during that month of March, as they're passing out the gospel, we barely ever see someone come to church because of us passing out that tract. If I passed out one to our brother over here in Walmart or somewhere else, most likely they're not coming to my church. But I'll tell you what happens. Our church is right across the street from Langley Housing. That's the military housing right across the street from our church. And what happens is you'll go door knocking Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. You won't see but maybe one or two people, if that, come from door knocking. But God blesses faithfulness and sends someone who just moved into Langley Air Force Housing and sends them to church Sunday morning because they just moved into the area and they're looking for a church. God always blesses faithfulness. He always blesses faithfulness. It's because people obey by the declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a talk with no life to back it up. And I'm not talking about a life that has no talk to back it up. I've seen people where they're so focused on, well, I've got to live my life to the fullest of just letting Jesus shine through me, but they don't ever speak the name of Jesus. Yes, you ought to let Jesus shine through you, but if you're not willing to talk about him, then why would you let him shine through you? And I'm not talking about a person that's over on the opposite side, where I've had a tendency to focus on, I'll share the name of Jesus Christ, but then I won't back it up with my life. There's got to be a focus of a life and a talk that go hand in hand together by sharing and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where is your emphasis this morning, church? Number one, the only point I have this morning is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to be focused on that. The narrative of a Christian is not to be all about what's going on in the world. We have a lot going on around us right now. We have a lot going around us in our government. We have a president who's not following the Lord. We have a society that's not following the Lord. We have a vice president who's not following the Lord. We have several people around us who are not following the Lord. But that's why we must follow the Lord. God's put us here for a reason, because he wants us to pray for our president. He wants us to pray for our vice president. He wants us to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that has to be our narrative. The narrative of a Christian is not to be what's going on in the world around us. It's not to be focused on the church. It's not to be focused on our singing. It's not to be focused on our good deeds. It's not to be focused on what we can do as a church family, but it is instead to be focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where is our focus this morning? 1 Corinthians 15:10 through 11 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." This is Paul speaking. "I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Was his grace that was bestowed upon you in vain? Did you get saved and just put it to the side? Or did you follow through? It says, "His grace was not bestowed in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." I was thinking about different times in our church that we've grown spiritually in my home church and seeing in other churches. I think about the different times that, we've had family in the beginning of the year that it's just amazing how God works. We'll have a focus on our church with maybe a March Madness. We'll have a focus on our church or with our church on getting the gospel out in our vacation Bible school. This year was the biggest vacation Bible school we've ever had in our life or in our church's existence, as far as I know. It was amazing. God just worked tremendously. We had 19 young people who trust Christ as their Savior. It's amazing. Praise God. In the past, I think 13 years of my dad being pastor there, we have seen maybe one person trust Christ through VBS. And you know, it's worth it for that one, absolutely. But man, it's so cool. It's so cool watching God work. So cool watching God work. But I noticed this, every single time our church gets focused on declaring the gospel in a VBS, or declaring the gospel in a March Madness, or declaring the gospel in a Christmas cantata, or declaring the gospel in a friend day, or a homecoming, or something like that. God blesses and people come to church. God blesses and people get saved. But the month after that is over, it's like no one's coming to church. Do you, You guys, am I the only one that sees that? Is our church the only one that sees that? I think there's churches all across America that struggle with this. We get focused on sharing the gospel, but then the next month, oh, when? This person got saved last month. I guess we're good for the next 2 months. This person got right with God last month. I guess we're good for the next 2 months. Oh, we had 17 souls get saved. We had 19 souls get saved in VBS. I guess we're good. Next few months, we're good. Oh, man. What a horrible place to be in. Where's our focus this morning? Holly Hills, it's got to be on continually sharing the gospel. You know, the biggest budget in a church ought to be on their soul winning. It ought to be getting the gospel, somehow getting the gospel out, whether that's in door knocking, or whether that's in visitation, or whether that's in your senior saints ministry, or whether that's in your youth ministry, whatever it may be, you ought to focus on all those areas. But is it with the purpose and the focus of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ? It has to be. It has to be. Our church started out with 40 or 50 seniors. I've got just a few minutes. I'm going to be done. Okay, can you bear with me? Some of y'all are smiling. Okay, that's good. All right, we're almost there. We started out our church with about 40 or 50 seniors when my dad became pastor there. And man, it was really hard. We had one girl in the church, and she was a young lady that was only coming on Sunday mornings. It was very hard, very hard. My dad had, in the past almost 14 years that we've been there now, my dad has buried, I think, over 20 of those 40 or 50 seniors. Some of them have not been able to come back to church because of different things like COVID or different health issues, different things like that. But do you know that God has blessed faithfulness over and over and over and over again, and how the church is growing? And now the church, God is doing something amazing. I remember when we first got there, we'd have families that would come from Langley Housing. We'd have families that come from different places, and they'd have a lot of kids. They come to the church, they see the pastor's family. Oh, they got kids and one girl in the church on Sunday morning, but that was it. And so what would happen was, they'd see, there's not very many kids here. I guess we can't go here. And they wouldn't come back. And I'm thinking in my head, if you just stayed for a week, then the next person that comes would come too. All right? And you get a little bit frustrated. You're thinking, man, God, what are you doing? And you know, all it took was literally that. One family came. They came one Sunday. And the next Sunday, that same family came back, as well as another family. And that was the start of it. And God did something incredible. Now there's several kids in the church. I see several kids in Holly Hills. I'm so glad to see there's plenty of youth here. God is doing some great works here. But you also need some people to give you some wisdom. There's got to be both. It's some amazing things, but you have to have that focus. Is our focus going to be continually on the gospel? I'm going to end in just a moment. I told you I didn't have but one point, but I do have a letter A and a letter B, okay? Number one, or letter A, there is boldness that's got to come with sharing the gospel. There absolutely has to be boldness. I struggle. I get afraid. I have plane rides in the fall, and I'll go, and we travel quite a bit, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like sharing the gospel with someone on a plane. I just don't. Because if they turn me down, I got to sit with them the rest of the ride. It's a little awkward. It's just not a very fun experience. But I try to force myself, and Scott and I never sit together. He always sits. He always wants a window seat. He gives me a window seat, so he'll sit in front of me usually, and I'll sit behind him, or the opposite. And one of us will try to start a conversation with the person next to us, and we'll try to share the gospel with them, or try to get something going. I've had some really interesting conversations. Plane rides are very, very interesting. I love flying. I love flying. First time I ever got on a plane, man, was just in 2019. Scott, he's been on planes almost his whole life, and I was sitting behind him, and I'm sitting next to these two people. I think if they had been awake, I probably would have scared them half to death. Because the plane started taking off. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. And the plane starts taking off. And I was like, well, this is actually really cool. This is really great. This is really wonderful. And it starts getting going. I didn't know it was going to be quite like that. And I looked over at the person next to me, and all I wanted to say was, are you feeling this? Because I'm feeling it. And it feels really cool right now. And it was almost like a roller coaster going up. And going down, they just slept through the whole thing. I was so depressed, but that's okay. Several different interesting plane rides. After that, you get a little bit more used to it. And it's not as thrilling as it used to be. But I've had several interesting conversations. I got to talk to a young man named Devontae, and I got to share the gospel with him. he was actually really just very honest with me. He simply said that I'm not done sinning yet. Very honest. He's pretty much just, I'm not done yet. I was talking to a gentleman who seemed like he was dressed very sharply, very nice, a person to talk to, sitting next to me, and started up a conversation, got to know him quite a bit, and asked him different questions. I always try not to just start off by saying, do you know for sure if you go to heaven right now? Because that's a little bit weird, all right? Sometimes that works out, but not most of the time, okay? And so I was like, man, if I can get a conversation in here, maybe I can work something in. And so I started going into this. Man, the conversation is going great. It's going wonderful. I found out he's a Jew. And my mom said, Carrie, whenever you're witnessing to someone and if they happen to be a Jew, you ought to say this. And it came right to me. I said this. You're one of God's chosen people. That's amazing. You ought to be encouraged in that. I think sometimes as Christians, we think of Jews as like standoffish. You know, there's God's chosen people, right? We ought to pray for them. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Absolutely. This man's a Jew. He's sitting next to me. And I started talking. I said, man, that's great. And I started talking about his family. And then all of a sudden, I said, do you have any family? Do you have any kids? And he said, yeah, I have a daughter. And my husband is, and I said, ooh. Okay. That's a little interesting. It's really sad. But you can't just say, oh man, well, I don't like you anymore. No. That's not what God's called us to do. No, God's called us to share the gospel in love. Share the gospel in love. You know, I love that person. You ought to love them too. God's called us to love them. God's called us to pray for them. God's called us to share the gospel with them. I went through the gospel with him. He wasn't quite interested in getting saved at that moment. But I still pray for him. That's still a person that needs Jesus. That's still a person that needs Jesus. Are you listening to this morning? This is one of the most simple messages you could ever get. I was thinking, man, I could preach on this one. I was like, man, Lord, this is really simple. And yet, this is one of the most critical messages that every Christian ought to learn and still be reminded of. Are you sharing the gospel this morning? There has to be a boldness. And sometimes on the plane ride, you have to be bold. You have to share that gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-2 says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Can you imagine being back in Paul's day, trying to share the gospel while someone's trying to kill you? Still happening today. Just not as much right here. You know, it could happen to you one day. It could happen to me. What are you going to do? Are you going to be bold? You're going to ask God to help you. That song, Lord, I Need You. Oh, man. I heard a preacher say just a few weeks ago, Kyle was with me, actually, and it was actually a preacher from another camp. He said, you realize, as a Christian, we are literally supposed to live every single day realizing we are in desperate need of God. When I first heard that statement, I said, well, everything? Everything? Has it got to be everything? Do I have to literally be desperate and depend upon him for everything? And yet, do you realize when you do that, you experience the love of Christ so much more? You experience the faithfulness of God so much more? You experience God doing some grand things like 19 people getting saved so much more? You experience the privilege of seeing person after person after person getting saved at Edge to Goes. We had over 15 young people get saved at Edge to Goes this summer. We had over, I think it was 40-some young people get saved in summer camp this year. That is all God. And that's because people decided that they're going to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has to be us. We have to be bold in our witness. We have to continue in that. Jonathan Edwards, I love what he said. He said, there is a false boldness for Christ that only comes from pride. A man may rashly expose himself to the world's dislike and even deliberately provoke its displeasure, and yet do so out of pride. True boldness for Christ transcends all. It is indifferent to the displeasure of either friends or foes. And this is a powerful statement. And I mean this in love this morning. This convicted me last night. Boldness enables Christians to forsake all rather than Christ. and to prefer to offend all rather than to offend Christ. Are you more worried about what people think about you, or are you more worried about what Christ is thinking about you? I already know what God thinks about us. He tells us in His Word. He says, I'm justified. I am glorified in Christ. And He's given me a perfect nature in Christ. He's given me a complete nature in Christ. And I have all I need in Jesus. So why wouldn't I want to go share that with someone else? My last thing, letter B, there is a stewardship. 1 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. So how's your heart doing this morning, church? Is it focused on the gospel? How's your heart doing this morning, church? Is it emphasized on the gospel? Is your language, is your vocabulary focused on the gospel? Is what you sing focused on the gospel? Is every single bit of your life focused on declaring the gospel? Because if it's not, I'd encourage you this morning, would you come to this altar or make a decision in your seat to commit to God this morning? I'm going to make the same commitment. I have to make it every single day of my life to say, Lord, I can't, you can. Would you use me to reach someone today with the gospel? That has to be us in 2023. So I am encouraging you. I am imploring you. I am speaking as imperatively as possible, because I realize that there is only one way that people are going to know that Jesus loves them, and it has to be because of us. So what are you doing with Jesus this morning? What are you doing with this? Donald wouldn't have heard the gospel unless someone decided to share a tract with him. Donald would not have heard the gospel unless someone tried to just simply start a conversation and share Jesus. I'm not lifting up myself in any way at this moment, but I'm saying you've got to open up your mouth and let Jesus speak through you. Those 19 young people wouldn't have gotten saved unless we had a VBS. Do you realize that? 6 weeks or 10 weeks of summer camp, 4 weeks of our own, and then the others of custom camps, people wouldn't have gotten saved if people didn't have camp. If people wouldn't have gotten saved if someone didn't decide to try to reach them. And so I'd ask you this morning, what are you doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is one of the greatest messages, as a matter of fact, the greatest message you could ever have in your entire life. It changed my life. And if you're a Christian here this morning, I believe it changed your life too. Amen?
Amen.
And you ought to go share that with someone else, because He's worth it. I love serving Jesus. He's so good. Would you make a decision to follow Him this morning and let Jesus work in and through your life? You may have a lot of issues in your life, but if your focus is on the gospel is powerful enough to change you. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. God, I love you. I thank you for how good you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, this message actually didn't really go as much as I planned. But you know what, Lord? That's okay. Because you led a different way. And Lord, I'm so glad that you are the perfect leader. And God, I pray that we would follow your leading this morning. Lord, if there's someone here today that's not saved, I pray that they would get saved. They realize that they are missing out, God. And they are missing out on a wonderful relationship of love and joy and peace that can only come from you and relationship with you. God, I pray that they would get saved today. Pray that they come before you this morning and just repent and turn to you. God, I pray for the Christians that are in here this morning. Oh God, I pray that they would turn to you and give you their all. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I'd ask you this morning, as the piano begins to play, have you decided to follow Jesus this morning? Have you decided to give Him everything? Have you decided to go declare the gospel with someone? So, Carrie, I'm curious this morning. Every eye bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you've got a lost loved one or a lost friend or a lost coworker that you're thinking of right now, I want you to think of someone. I want you to think of someone. Everyone in here that's a Christian should have someone that they know that's not saved. And if you don't, then I encourage you to go find out, go find someone that you can reach. But if you have a coworker, you have a friend, you have a family member that you know needs to be saved, would you simply just raise your hand this morning? Hands all over the auditorium. Thank you so much. You can put those down. I encourage you, take this time right now. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for God to use you to reach them. I told you this morning that we've been praying for my sister-in-law for over 2 years to get saved, and she got gloriously saved this year. God's still working. God is still working. And God can still work in and through your life if you let Him. The key to victory in the Christian life, as my dad tells me all the time, is this: surrender. Are you going to surrender your all to Jesus this morning? God, I pray that you bless this invitation for your glory. Not about me, not about us, but about Jesus. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name. If you'll stand up with me.